Praise God, Pastor. Thank you. Hallelujah. So you can be seated. I'm very excited to be here, and I had an amazing, amazing, amazing time yesterday. And I told both your pastors that, being here is like being at home. I mean, this, not that I'm bragging, but you have it too. We have the Spirit of God in our church, all right? God shows up at our church. But guess what? You probably already know this, but God shows up in your church. Amen. He's here. And I love it. I love the feeling of God being in here. And I told the ladies, you can do anything. You can, make a mistake if you want to. And they're just like, oh, come on, you can do it. You can get it out. You can get it. Go on. You just have that kind of feeling when you're in here. Just that everybody loves you and they just want you to do good. And you have such amazing pastors. I just want you to know that we travel all around, and if I don't agree with what I'm saying right now, I just don't say anything. Just say, well, thank you, Jesus, for having me here. Would you turn to? But when you have a church like this of people who love God, who want to serve God, who want to be and do anything that God has called them to do, then it's fun to preach to you. Amen? And I don't know. I'm going to preach what God told me to preach, but you guys are all so awesome. I don't know. I might just be, it might be not revelation, but I might just be pounding on you. I don't know what God gave me to do today. But what I'm going to talk to you today on is the preacher's connection. And to me, that's so important. Our DNA in these last days sits right there. Your man and woman of God is your DNA. And I'll tell you what, you better have that connection. And we're going to talk about how to get it. But first, I just want to share a few things. The ladies know about this, but this is called Living a Life of Confession. And I wrote this, had it finished by May this year for our ladies' meeting. And I love it, and I shared it with the ladies about it. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time. But bottom line is, it's just living your life with confessing good things over you. And I put a lot in here for you. You don't even have to do it. But then there's pages at the end that you can put your own in. I had one young lady who's believing God for a husband, and she filled her last pages with confessions about believing God for her husband and what she believed her husband should be. Now, she didn't put handsome and nice hair and nice teeth. I mean, I'm sorry, but the first thing I would do, like here in your church, we've got lots of Emily's, okay, that are not, they're not married. And right away, if someone came in here and was interested in Emily, I would say, make sure his teeth are okay, because we can't have, we can't have bad teeth, and we know, no, I'm just kidding. I have an older friend, she's like 50-some years old, and she's been believing. Her husband's been dead for 10 years. And there was a man that was interested in her. And I said, oh, I don't like him. He's got lots of hair in his ears and his nose, and he doesn't cut it. She says, hey, that's subject to change. I can cut it. I'm like, okay, that does make sense. There are things that are changeable. I'm telling you, I can't help it. I just tell whatever comes to my mind. And so those things were all free. So give, all these little tidbits, ladies, if you're looking for, check their teeth, really, we need to check out where they're at spiritually. But nice teeth helps. Living a life of confession. I want you ladies to get it. I really believe it'll change you. 10 years ago, when God did heal me from cancer, I did this book. One day, one thought, one year, and you can pick it up at any time. If you bought it today, you'd go to the date today, and you'd start there, and then just go all the way around and through. And this is when I wrote it, this was 33 years of living underneath my husband's ministry. And all the notes that I sat and took through all the years, I went up north to do this and I took all my notes. And I began to dig through them and find things that I was taught, and then I'd stick it in here. And so I love it. It's been around for 10 years, but we're still doing good with it. And so I want you ladies to get that. And then the Man Maker. I told the ladies about this, and if you don't have it, you need to get it, because I, in this book, is the Man Maker. He talks about what kind of life he had with me and what I did in his life supernaturally, not naturally. You know, we create our own marriage naturally. I'm not talking about all of those things. I'm talking about what I did supernaturally and what kind of a wife and how I, you know, stirred him on and things that I did. So ladies, if you want to be a supernatural wife, get this book and read it, and then you can be just like me when you grow up. But Jaden, come and get these. So I'm really excited about this teaching that I have this morning, because I don't feel like we can go on and do anything that God has called us to do in these last days without that relationship with the man of God. And I start out in 2 Kings, if you'd go there, 2 Kings 4, and just leave it open there. And I'm going to share a few things with you before we get started. But you know, in 2 Timothy 3, it talks about the last days. And I said a little bit about it yesterday, because it is very big on my heart and very convinced. And I know that your pastor and Miss Pastor Jean will agree that we're living in the last days because of the things that are happening. Because people nowadays, even born-again Christians, are lovers of their self. That's what 2 Timothy says. It talks about those things, and it's hard to realize. You know, so many times when we read the Bible, we think it's for the unbeliever, but guess what? Sometimes he's talking about us. You know, and we like to be pitchfork Christians. I know I do. I'll listen to something and I'm like, oh, my God, I know who needs that. I'll pitch it back to them. You better be listening, because you need this. Yeah, go right over my head. That's what we do. We hear things and God's trying to speak to us, and we're going to pitch it on to somebody else. You know, they need that, right? Children that are disobedient to their parents, that's what 2 Timothy says. I know that you have read it. People are ungrateful. They're ungrateful. My daughter has taught their children for several years about being grateful. And if they're ungrateful, they don't get anything. Because she said, if you don't have a grateful heart. And what does she say, Jaden? I'm going to put you on the spot. Your mother has a saying. A life with gratitude is a life without an attitude. That's what she tells her kids all the time, and they go without quite a few times. Oh, look at Mark. Can you see your mom, honey? She wants you to write that down. But they have loose, even Christians, they have loose morals, and many of them are haters of God. You know that. Not Christians, but the unbelievers. They hate God. And the more we love them, the more they hate him in these last days. And so we need to get busy. We got to quit standing around and, you know, just, you know, trying to make it just you and me and no more. We need to be reaching out. I told the ladies yesterday, our job in this local church is to bring people in. That's our job. That is not your pastor's job. It is yours. And it's a shame. It doesn't happen in Living Word either. It is a shame that we as believers don't bring somebody new every single service. because we're out pounding the ground and believing God and bringing a people in as, you know, your hairdresser, your, you know, someone that does your Miss Jean. You probably know that. She's led her pedicure. You call it a pedicurist? Anyways, the lady that does her feet. The pedic gets a pedicure. She led her to the Lord. That's our job. Anywhere we go, if we go into a restaurant, if we go into a store, they should know that we're a believer. Why? Because when you go up to the counter and they say, oh, well, this is only $10 and you thought it was $30, you say, yes, Jesus, or praise God, or hallelujah. Yeah. So that they know. And sometimes the clerk's a Christian and they'll say, I agree. But we should show who we are no matter where we go. Yes. They should know. And you know, I don't know about you. Have you ever gone somewhere and like in a really bad mood and it's like, I'm in there and like this clerk is, you know, it's just not nice. And I just want to, you know, say something to her. And so this is what I'll say if I get very, you know, I said, you know what, honey? You need to get a job where there's no people. Because you have no people skills. That's what happens when I get mad. I don't, you know, unbelievers say, blah, 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 never go again. Oh, never burn your bridges. Never burn your bridges. Because if you say you'll never go again, then you can't go. You can keep your word, you know. But I want us to change right now. I want you to read 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to go over that after I am gone, and I want you to read it because it talks all about these things that people are doing. And it's believers too. I want you to know that. It's not just the unbelievers. And in Joel, I don't want you to go there, in Joel 3:9, it talks about not playing church anymore. Blow a trumpet in Zion. Get happy. We're in the last days. Bring people in, praise God. Let's next Sunday, let's all purpose to bring one person to church. We'll have to get chairs out. Amen. That's a good problem. Yes. When we say, oh my goodness, we got to build on, all we think of is dollar signs. But it's a good thing. Yes. It's a good thing. And it's not going to be long and you're going to be opening your balcony for services. Because God is moving in these last days. And, you know, I believe that these churches that are gathering a bunch of people, that they're thousands of thousands of people, and they go and they just have a screen preacher, or I don't know if you know this or have heard of it, but I'm telling you, we've seen it. In Saginaw in Michigan, they have a beer church. And they watch someone on the screen and they can drink beer while they're there. I promise you. I mean, the world is trying everything to get the backslidden, the not 100% Christian into that kind of environment. But I believe they're going to wake up. I believe that they're going to wake up. But anyways, that was all free too, because that has nothing to do with what I'm speaking. So we better get to it. And Kings, you guys have heard this story. It's about Elisha and the woman of Shunem. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you know, I'm going to start it out so you know where I'm at. It's in 8, what did I say? 8, starting out in verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 8. When Elisha went through the town and the woman seen him, and said to her husband, I believe that we need to make a room for him as he comes back and forth and as he travels through our city. And how many know that just because us women want to do something, that our husbands are going to do it? Unless maybe that we have favor or that we have influence. Now, favor, influence, and influence are my two favorite words. Because that's what I think we should have with everybody that surrounds us. I think that we should have favor, women, with our husbands. Husbands, I think you should have favor with your wife. I think we should be influence our husbands and one another in God. Although I must tell you, I can influence my husband sometimes on my side of things. And I'm going to share one of the testimonies with you. And I think you'll agree that, you know, it wasn't an ungodly thing, but it was a purpose thing. I wanted to, your bookstore is amazing and so is your little boutique. And I wanted to go to Chicago. And I wanted, you know, to be one of those buyers and go there and buy all these things. Make our bookstore the best bookstore there was. You with me?
Yes.
Does that sound good? I wanted to take the church van, and my son, all of a sudden, he became vice president, and I just became the president's wife. That was all. I mean, I got demoted, according to my son. He said, well, Mom, you know, you can't take this van. And I said, why can't I? And he said, because it's over its miles. Well, I thought into myself, well, I'll fix you. I said, okay, whatever. I went home that day. It's all you got to do with Dr. Barkley when it comes to me. Oh, my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. This is called favor, okay? He said, well, what's the matter, honey? Fell right into it. I said, I want to take the church van. I want to go do this. I want to go to Chicago. He said, okay, what's the problem? I said, Josh will not let me take the van. And he said to me, who is Josh? I said, my feelings exactly. Would you take care of this for me? I wasn't going to go to Josh. Nah, 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 nah. Dad said I could. I just said, could you take care of it? He said, I'll let Josh know. I'll have the van filled. When are you leaving? I said, okay. So I told him, well, you know, even to this day, it's been 20 years that Josh has been the vice president, you know, and I'm like, who cares? I sleep with the president. You know, he still don't get it. You know, he still don't get it. So I'll always be number two. But there's no sense of, but what, you know, of arguing with him. It is what it is. And, but what I'm trying to say is that we have that kind of influence. I'm not always saying use it there, but I tell you, I saved a lot of strife by arguing back and forth with my son to tell him, yeah, it's like, I bypass all that. I'll go to the source. I'll go to the man who has the plan and will give it to me. And so would God. Amen. And so I believe this woman had favor with her husband. And she had influence in the city because it said there in the Bible she was very influential. I didn't read it, but she is. And she said, I perceive that he's a man of God. How would she, you know, I said to myself, how do you perceive something like that? Because you see it, because you sense it, because you know it. I perceive that your pastor and his wife are a man and woman of God because my spirit bear witnesses with their spirit. The God in me knows the God in them, right? And so that's the way we should be. And that's the kind of influence we should have. Therefore, she built that room. So she began a long relationship with Elisha. This is just the beginning of their relationship. So you know that she built the room. You know that he came along and stayed in the room. Well, if you go down to, let's see, where do I have it? In verse 23, it says, I'm ahead of myself. Let's go, I'm sorry. I've done this enough. I shouldn't be getting confused. But Elisha said to Gehazi, I'll be okay. Oh, Elisha said to Gehazi, we must do something for this woman. And they asked her, would you like to see the king? You know, he was a prophet and he could get you before the king. Could we do anything for you? And she said, no. She's very influential. She had money. She was great. She didn't need anything. But Gehazi said, she does not have a child. She needs a son. So they talk to her, and she basically says, now, no, I don't have one, but don't mess with me. Don't fool around with me. I mean, yeah, it's a big deal. And so, great. If you could do that, I'll take it. Praise God. And so she just didn't want them teasing her or messing around with her, but they were serious. Because we know as we read down here how serious that they were. And then when the son is born, the father takes him to the field, right? Do you remember that story? And he becomes sick. Well, this is so typical, even today, just like it is in the Bible day. The minute the kids start whining and crying, it's like, get their mother. And he's like to the servants, take this child to his mother. Isn't that the normal man? I mean, it's like, and when you're talking to them and they're doing really good, oh, honey, my daughter just did this and that. But when they don't do good, it's, honey, your daughter just, this is what your daughter just did. Or, hey, this is what pastor will say, hey, this is what your son Mark just did. You know, your son. I'll say to my husband, they belong to both of us. Well, not today, they don't, you know. And so we get it when they're bad, and we get it when they're good. But only the husband, I'm talking wife, because, of course, I'm a woman. And so it's so typical. So he sends the child to the mother, right? The mother begins to rock this child, and you know what happens. It dies, right? And that's now the part of the story that I want to go to. In 23, because she said, she's rich, so I believe she had a Mercedes. I'm sure that she did. I mean, that's one of the nicest cars to me, is a Mercedes. And I'm sure she told her servants to go gas up that Mercedes, that she was on her way to see the prophet. And they said, it's neither a new moon or a festival nor Sabbath. Nothing, there was no reason for her to go have an audience with that man of God. But she was going to. Why? Because she had a relationship with him. And did she not say, do not tease me? You can look at all the different, translations, that's the word, thank you. If I can't remember, ask somebody else and they help me. Translation, you'll see that she basically says, don't mess with me, don't tease me. I mean, you know, bottom line is, if you're going to give me a kid, give it to me, but don't talk about it, you know. And he did, but now this kid is dead. So she's on her way to see the prophet, right? Well, one of the things I want to point out to you that she didn't, oh my gosh, she didn't say, if this is all God's fault. This is all God's fault. She didn't say that. She was going to the source just like we should go to our pastor or to God. I'm not trying to say our pastors are God, but I'll tell you what, they're the best thing to get to because he's connected to God. And I'll tell you what, he has more favor with God because of who he is than you do. I don't know if you like that, but it's the truth. And she didn't curse God. She stayed connected. She told her servants what to do, and she headed to the man of God. Well, you know that when she was coming in that Mercedes, and you know when she slammed on that brakes, the rocks went everywhere. And Gehazi, being a good armor bearer, seen this all happening, and he's like, whoa, Barbie, you're not getting anywhere as near this man of God. And I can tell that you've got problems here. You know, you're distressed and you're full of sorrow and you're not getting to the man of God. Just like maybe an armor bearer, someone's trying to head to your pastor and you're like, you know, can I help you? What do you need? Well, the prophet said, let her come. Let her come and see me. Because they had a relationship. Mm-hmm. Amen. Do you have that kind of relationship with God and your pastor? I hope so. Because if something happens in your life like what just happened to her, you better believe you want that kind of relationship. Now, my husband doesn't only pastor our local church, but he pastors pastors. And so he has a relationship with them. And of course, I'm with him all the time. And he'll get phone calls And he'll look at his phone and we'll be out to dinner. And that doesn't really matter. I could be saying a story with tears coming out of my eyes, pouring my life out to him, and the phone would ring and he'd say, honey, I have to take this, because they don't ever call unless they have an issue. It's like, do I just hold it so my tears stay there? Because by the time he's done, I won't be in the crying mode. No, I'll be mad and want to take his phone. And I'm like, understand, I have to. Many times I have gotten upset. I'm not going to say I didn't. But the majority of the time, it's like, it's okay. Until sometimes he gets off the phone and he tells me, it's a pastor, and he tells me what the pastor wanted. I'm like, honey, why didn't you just tell him? Go to God. Or why didn't you just say, call one of our parishioners, call so-and-so. He'd know the answer to that. One of our people that's sitting under our ministry. Just like with you guys. I mean, you wonder, you know, there is a God, and then your pastor, and then, you know, you. Maybe you guys don't feel that way, but I do. I mean, go to God first. Find out if you can't get that answered. Amen? But there's sometimes I'm nosy. So he'll look at his phone, and he'll set it back down. And I'll say, who is that? I'll say, well, that's Pastor so-and-so, and I'm finishing my dinner while it's hot. And I'll say, okay. He'll say, well, I'm going to talk to him for 15 minutes. He's not going to do anything I tell him to do, but he's going to take up my time, you know, while I'm eating my dinner. He couldn't have said that, even called that person back who he said he can't afford, you know, he needs. I'm like, yeah, right. This one he didn't answer, okay? Did you follow what I just said?
No.
Oh, you never do, but I think they followed it. She's always saying, what? It's all right. My husband used to be able to follow me, and now he can't. So I'm telling him. He says it's because of me, but I said it's because he's getting too old. But he won't answer it. Now, let me share this before I forget so you don't get a bad. He will call that pastor back, okay? But he's going to call that pastor back when he wants to. It's like, he's a very busy man. And a lot of pastors say, well, I never bug you because I just know how busy you are. And he'll just tell them, well, too bad if you need me that you don't call, because everybody else does. And so you might as well call. You have not because you ask not. But it's the ones that call and get down to business and say, okay, I have this issue, 1, 2, 3. And those are the ones that are, you know, he wants to answer. He wants to help them. I told the ladies, we love people. We love the pastors. We want to help them. But I'm telling you, if you're in a place that we're in, and you're in a place, you don't even realize what they go through. They can't get up here every single service and tell you what your next door neighbor, sitting next to you, I mean, what they've done to them this week. You know, you can't get up here and say, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so just ripped us apart. But, you know, hey, life goes on. No, you don't tell those things. You pray, you believe God, you try to change people's lives. But you don't get up here and share it with all of you, right? And so you need to have a love and an understanding of where this man and woman of God has been, what they've done, and what they're going to do in the future. You should hold them up in prayer, believe God for them. And if you don't need to call them and you can get it answered, then don't call them. Go to God and get it done. But if you can't go to them, I'm not telling you that you can't go to them. But I'm telling you that there is a process, and that we need to work that process. Can you say amen? I wrote on here that we need to wake up and fight back from what the devil is doing to us. And not being religious, but by sacrificing. That's what it takes in a church and in the body of Christ, is sacrificing. So we know, let's go on to the story. We know that when she got there, what did he do? He said, Gehazi, take my staff and go take care of this. And she said, oh no. He's not doing it, but off he went because he was obeying the man of God. But she said, oh no, I got a nice comfortable seat in my Mercedes, sir, pastor, prophet, whatever you want to call him. I shall drive you in air conditioning, but you shall go with me and you shall go there. And when the prophet got there, Elisha, you know, the boy was still dead. And Gehazi came out and said, you know, so Elisha went up, and you know the story. He raised him from the dead, and the boy lived. Well, this is the ongoing relationship. And when I said, you know, I'm saying favor, influence, guess what? I'm talking supernaturally. I'm talking supernaturally. Do you think when your pastor and Miss Jean got up here this morning that subconsciously they did not look in the crowd, maybe had an issue with somebody this week trying to help them, looked in the crowd to see, were they here, and they were not? You think, well, she was up there giving an announcement. I can flat guarantee you that they noticed things while they were up there. Might not have been that. It might have been, oh, I didn't see so-and-so, and I've been praying for him. I'm going to have to give him a call. We do those kind of things even while we're talking. It can happen. It's God. You really can do more than one or two things, you know. You keep going. And so what I'm saying to you, do you have that kind of relationship with them that when they see you call them, they don't say, let's finish our dinner, and when we get home, let's go ahead and call them, because we already know it's going to be the same problem that it always is, and that we can deal with it, and we're going to deal with it. But we're not going to deal with it while we're having family time. But what if you were one of the ones that was the supernatural believer, and he doesn't have any choice? And he, if it's to pastor, he might turn to her and say, honey, I know we're together, but I don't have any choice because this is so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And something is wrong. Mm-hmm. They don't call me just to chit-chat. Not that you can't. But can you realize the picture I'm trying to point to you about your relationship with this man and woman of God? He's going to answer it, and you're going to say to him, Pastor, my husband just got in a car accident, and he's on his way to emergency, and I need you and Pastor Gene. And they're going to go, gotta go, gotta leave. Jump in their car and meet you there and be the support that you need to have the man of God with the anointing on his life and on her life to be there to see you through this situation. Do you understand the supernatural connection that you need? Now, a lot of times in our ministry, because we travel a lot, we a lot of times on Sunday night invite somebody in the congregation out to dinner. Just, you know, somebody that, hey, they've only been here for a month or so. Let's, you know, we're really busy, but we have Sunday, you know, we do, I'm telling you, we do all these things. My husband calls everybody on their birthday, everybody on their anniversary that's either a deacon, an elder, something in our church, you know, some kind of a title, our office staff, he personally will call you and say happy birthday or happy anniversary. I mean, because that, he loves people. He's busy. He really shouldn't do it. I've asked him if I could do it. He said, no, this is just something I want to do. I'm like, whatever, good. I don't call those people anyways. You know, I love people, but, you know, I don't like them getting in the way of my shopping or no. No, my decorating or my, I make jewelry and, you know, like Emily and, you know, I don't want them bugging me during there. So, no, not really. I'm just kidding. But anyways, are you understanding me or am I just babbling on? Okay. You're getting what I'm trying to say, right? You're getting the fact that I'm saying this is the last days. You need a supernatural relationship with this man and woman of God. Are you getting it? Because it's the last days. Yes, we should have it all along, but it is the last days. And I was telling you on Sunday nights, we ask somebody out, and he'll say, honey, who do you want to take out? And right away, it'll be somebody like, for instance, the one time he said it, there's ministers in our church, and he had just come and painted our whole house. He didn't want any help. He's bigwig at Dow. And he works in the bureaucracy department, and he's a bigwig, but he wanted anybody to help him, wanted to take his time. It took a week. Took a week off from work, and he just played tapes and music, and he just painted. You know, a lot of our house is brick, but it's also needs to be painted. And right away, when we were sitting there, they've been going to our church for 25 years. But right away, when he said, I said, I want to take them out. And he said, okay. So we went and told him. We went out to dinner. Now, even though we've been in that church for 40 years, if they get to go do something with us personally, they love it. Even though they've been there for 40 years. You know, I mean, oh my gosh, I get to go to with Pastor and Mrs. B. And you know, and I'm like, well, this is no big deal. But it is to them. And it's not me, it's my husband. And that's okay, I can live with that. I told him, I said, honey, I married you because you were so handsome. And I'll be married 50 years in May. 50 years, can you imagine that? 50 years to that guy. You can't imagine what I've gone through. He's turned into, you know, a prophet. You ever heard about what a prophet's life's like? Yeah, that's why I think God healed me from cancer. I don't think he could go on without me. And I said, please live longer than me, because maybe I'll have to go after you go, because he kept me here for you, you know. But I told him, honey, I stay with you for your money. He said, thank you, dear. He knows I'm only teasing, but you know what? To be married that long and still have the garage door go up at home and my heart goes pitter-patter, are you kidding? I love to see him as much as anybody else does. My grandchildren do. They love him. They esteem him. And the reason why we do is because what he is at the church is what he's at home, just like I know those two are. You know, a lot of people pretend. They sit there and they act like they know God, but then they go home and they start swearing and beating the kids and slapping them around. My kids work with us full time in the ministry, and now we're starting to go through the grandchildren. I have three grandchildren, actually four, that work for us now because they believe in our ministry and they believe in the anointing that's in their father, just like you should believe, grandfather and father, you should believe about the anointing in these. You know, sometimes I think you guys take these people for granted. They're not people, they're pastors. They're God's anointed. They're God's approved. They're God's anointed, appointed, and improved. They're all of those things. And they're for you. God sent them here for you. And so you need to be grateful. And you need to do everything that you can. You know, there's only two of them, and look at how many there is of you. You've got to think those things. It's like, why can't he do this or that for me? Because he has 200 more me's in here. And so I'll just give him a little hint. The squeaky wheel is what gets the oil. So if you're trying to just squeak. And I say to God, you know, just a squeaky wheel, just keep squeaking. And he's going to like, oh my gosh, we need to see this couple before they drive us nuts. So I'll just give you that little hint. But because I do that with God, it's like, you ever ask God so many times and you think, oh, if he hears me one more time, he's going to be so disappointed in me. My husband says no. He says from squeaky wheel gets the oil. So I think I'm going to squeak so loud that God's going to tell the angels, would you give that to her? I don't want to hear it again. And so I'll say it over and over and over and over. Because if God will do it once, he'll do it again. Amen. And so we just keep persisting. Amen. And so also I wanted to share with you, but to have favor with your pastor, what do you think that means? Paying your tithe. That's going to give you some favor. Going to church, that's going to give you some favor. Giving in offerings. You know, there's in our church, there are some people that will talk and I'll say, well, we really need to do this or that. We need it bad. We're going to have to go before the people. And I'll think, wow, well, I know at least, you know, these three couples will do something. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, after 40 years, pretty sure what they're going to do, what the kind of offer. I said, so I think if we just give the plan to the people, you know, the rest of them will, you know, because together we can do it. So we all put it in together and we can do it. working parties. Oh, my. If the church is open and they're asking for help, you should be here. As far as I'm concerned, even attending churches, it's your reasonable service. And in the Bible, it says so much the more as the day approaches. Yeah. See, he knew what the last days were going to be like, and he told us to be here so much the more as the day approaches so that we can be ready. Amen? And, you know, in Thessalonians, it says that when he comes for us, he's going to come for those who remain. And we're the remain. And what do we do to remain? You know, he says that, you know, we're going to be working and remaining, and what it means is that we're going to be here doing what we're doing right now when the trumpet blows. We're going to be going to church, reading our Bible, doing the things that God called us to do. There's where you want to be. Who wants to be in an R-rated movie theater when the trumpet blows? Okay, you don't ever know when it is. We shouldn't be in there anyways. Or you just had a bad day and the world that you served in came back to you, and you just said, I'm just going to go to the bar just one time. Just one time. And the trumpet blows. Well, there it is. It's like, to me, it's like standing in a line in a sale, and you just got tired of it, and you get out. It's like, no, that's the devil. But, you know, like, and I'll say to myself, even ice cream, it doesn't matter what it is. It's like, I've waited this long. Or have you ever been doing a project and you're trying and trying and you keep trying and you keep trying and you want to pick whatever that is up and throw it? It's like, I'm going to do this if I have to sit here till tomorrow morning. When you make that kind of commitment, all of a sudden it all falls into place. Because the devil just wants you to pick it all up. And don't think I haven't when I'm making jewelry and throw it against the wall. But then you got to go pick it all up. So it's not even worth it. Amen. But this woman had this kind of relationship with God. Now let me give you one more illustration. There was a girl in our church. It's been going to our church. She's my daughter's closest friend. But she's been going to the church since they were little girls and they met each other. In fact, they are so close that three of their children are close to the same age, because when Dawn got pregnant, then Carrie got pregnant. And then when Dawn got pregnant the fourth time, Carrie said, all done. You can have that one on your own. So she didn't have that fourth one. But I'm saying all that to say, Dawn came to me. This was several years ago. She said, Mom, they're not going to have a Christmas. They had two, at the time, they had three small children. I said, not on my watch. I didn't go to the church, and I didn't say, you know, can we get this out of? I got out a check and I wrote it. And why did I do that? Because that couple are tithers. They're givers. That woman to this day, and she's been coming to the church almost 40 years, will work, and you can't get her out of here until she finishes her project. You talk about talented. Usually the talented ones won't do this. She can change a light fixture, guys. She could go up there and change that light for you if we needed it. She could build anything. She can upholster anything. She can do anything. And believe me, we've had her do it all. And she will do it. Yeah. If we need her, she will do it. So I gave to her. But the usher or the elders came to me and said, this particular family will not have a Christmas. And you know what I said? You'll have to go to Doc on this one. Because not only am I not going to take any money out of my purse, but I ain't giving them any money from the church. Because it's like giving money to a bag with holes in it. Why? They're people that are sitting in the same church. Because they don't give. They don't tithe. They come when they want to, especially if their light bill's overdue. They'll come. You know, like what do you guys call it here? Social services? Is it social service everywhere? You know, they'll go everywhere, and then when they can't, they think we're social service, so we should pay their light bill. We should pay their phone bill. We should do these things, meaning the church. And I said, you're going to have to go to Doc, because I'm not doing that. And for all I know, my husband would say, this may be the very time he hears from God. He may say, we're going to do this because I believe that this is the seed that's going to change their life. Right. I don't know those things, but I wasn't about to make the decision because I knew it was a bag with holes in it. So I wasn't going to do it. But my husband might have had a different, you know, view at it. And so would you be one of those couples that were in trouble and somebody came to your pastor and said, I know they won't say anything to you, but I want you to know this about them. And then they talk and say, oh, it's a shame that they're in this situation right now. And with this couple, it wasn't their fault. It was the times. It was, you know, everything had fallen then and all of that. They're doing really good now. But I'm saying they went through a bad time, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you were going through, would they say, tithers, givers, every time we open the door, they're here. You know, we need to sacrifice either from us, from the ministry, whatever God speaks to you to do, that's what you need to do. Amen? Because that's what God would want you to do. And that's the kind of people I believe we need to be in the last days. And I believe, as I've said before, that these are the most important people to your life that is sitting there in that front row. And I think they should be taken care of far before anybody else was. Amen. Well, this story don't end with them. If we turn over to 8, Elisha speaks to her and tells her that there's going to be a famine in the land. Well, I don't know if you come to your pastor and you say, Pastor, you know, we feel like God wants us to move here and do this and whatever. And your pastor, my husband, has said it. Well, I feel it's God too. It's more money. And if that couple comes and said, I've already chosen a church, if you approve, this is where I'm going to go, if you approve, many, many times, even though we don't ever want to lose any good sheep. If they were, you know, wolves, we'd say, bye-bye, it's God. You know, just let us pray for you and love on you. But, you know, that happens too, by the way. But you wouldn't know that because your pastor would never get up and tell you. But it happens in our church. Maybe it's a Michigan thing. But he would pray over them and be in agreement. But what about when he's not? Well, Pastor, you just don't want us to leave because my daughter works in this and I do this. And I must say, I'm a pretty big tither. So that's why you're saying no. No, that's not why you're saying no. If you don't trust your pastor to hear from God, would you even go to him in any ways? Why don't you just say, hey, this is what we're doing?
Right.
Why did you ask him when you already had your mind made up? We've done it both ways. We've said no and they've stayed, and pastors released them later. We've said yes and prayed for them, and we've said no when they left. Well, you know, when people rise up and go out, that's not good. But when they're raised up and you send them out, that's God.
Yeah.
See, how many people have just risen up here and walked out the door, never said hi, bye, never said anything, and all of a sudden, I'm not just talking somebody's been here for 6 months. I'm talking somebody's been here for 5 years, 6 years. And they just walk out the door and they never come back. But there are friends here. So they're going to tell you, dot, 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 dot. They're going to try to sway you by the things that they say. And I love it when parishioners come to me and say, well, so-and-so, I didn't even know they left the church. But they begin to tell me these things. And I told them, I don't want to hear it. You know what? They say, I'm very happy. I feel that's where God wants me, and I'm very happy. So I don't want to hear all that stuff. But, you know, most people, the flesh gets on them. They're like, I want to know why they left. I want to know what they think of this person. And, you know, people don't always leave because of them too. They leave sometimes because of you. They don't like you. And you. And you. Emily, I would never say that. They all love you. They do. They leave because of other people. Can you imagine leaving a church that God told you to go to because you didn't like somebody in the church? Oh, man, I don't want to be standing next to them when they get to heaven. Amen? Because that's not God, and that's not what God's calling us to do. It's not the time. We're in the last days. I've told you that is not time to disconnect. You need to stay connected. I don't care if your feelings get hurt. I don't care if your pastor talks to you and you just didn't really appreciate it. If they said, now don't, you're an usher and don't do that again. That's not proper. You know, I was at a church. I have no problems with this, but I wanted to bring it. It's one of our churches that are hooked up with us. And they have a tendency to do this. You pull up in the car and they all run to Dr. Barkley and the pastor and they open up their doors. And there I sit. You know, it's like, okay, I don't care. Can I open up my door, my own door? You better believe it. I can, and I do. But I wanted to tell the usher, not the pastor. I went and told the usher, I said, listen, I've been here enough. You know I'm not, you know, a prideful person, but I know that that's what's proper and what, you know, the woman of God. So you need to open up my door, even if you just open it, let me fall out. Just open the door, okay? And then go get the men of God and let their door. And if you can't do that, then have two guys out there. Your church is large enough. I didn't do it for them. Can you understand? Most of you know me by now. I hate it when people carry my packages. I love it when they buy me things. But when they carry my packages and that type of thing, you know, it's like, I can carry my own packages. But thanks. You know, you're like that. I'm not that type of person. And I think you guys, just from being here twice, know that I didn't tell them that for me. I told them that for them. So in the future, when somebody comes, that they're going to let the pastor's, you know, if they're going to open the pastor's wife's door first, not just the speaker, right? And so those are proper things to do. But if the pastor would yell at you for that, then you know, like, oh my gosh, he used to love the way I did everything, but now everything I do, he says something about it. Yeah? Well, pull up your britches and say amen. I'm in training, praise God, and I'm going to do what God's called me to do no matter how much it hurts, right? You're all saying amen until it happens to you. You're like, yeah, go. You go. Praise God. But I, just really quick, I am done. I know I'm going over, although I only know what time they normally get out because Miss Janine, or Jean, I want to say Janine always, but Miss Jean... she told me what time you guys normally get out, so I know I need to quit. But I can't quit until I tell you just a couple little stories about the ones that disconnected. I'm telling you all the favor and all the influence and everything that you will have if you get the DNA of this man and woman of God and you do what God's called you to do and obey him and take care of them, like their birthdays and Christmas and their anniversaries. I mean, we've been at our church for 40 years, and I'm telling you, those people, I go to Florida every year in March off my birthday offering that they give me in February. Because we've been there 40 years, and what? They love me, and they want to esteem me. And it's not the money. It's the idea. Oh, yeah, I spend it. I'm not saying that I don't, you know. But where your heart is, that's where your money is. That's where you want your heart and your money together. I know, what's that scripture? Where your treasure is, that is where your heart is. Is your treasure in going out and spending every cent you have, or is it in taking care of the man and woman of God first and then taking what is left? You'll only be blessed because of it. I told the women that I'm a giver. That's my ministry. That's my life. And I give. I give everywhere I go. Even when I'm traveling, I give to people while I'm traveling. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be Living Word. Ministers, whatever. And mine now comes back on every wave because I've sowed enough to receive. Some people just don't think, you know, well, I've given and given and I've given. And my husband will say, whose opinion is it, yours or God's? Does God feel like you've given that much, or is it just you? Oh, well, I guess I better ask God. Oh, maybe I don't want to ask God. He's liable to tell me no, you know. But these are the things that you have to think about. This whole thing has to do with being willing and obedient. But I want to talk to you about Naaman. You know the story of Naaman. You know that the man of God told him to go dunk in the river, and he got healed and blah, blah, blah. It was all through a Christian. It was all through all of that. But, you know, he's kind of a big deal, so he thought that the prophet would come to him and see him, but he didn't. But he did go to the prophet, and Nahum brought a gift to Elisha. You remember that? And he said, no. I said, God provides for me, and I do not want anything that you have. Are you sure? Yes. So Nahum leaves. But Gehazi, you guys know the story. He runs after him and said, well, there's a couple prophets that are coming, and Elisha changed his mind. He's going to take a little bit of that to bless them. And so, you know, Nahum's like, oh, I'm not only going to give you what you asked for, I'm going to give you double here. And you already know what he does. He goes back and he stores it in his house. You know, in the natural, I think, if he gave him all this money and a Rolex watch, you know, and a big cross, I mean, where is Gehazi going to wear all of that? He knows, we already know where they're at, you know, and just like we know what we pay our staff. And I'd love to say we pay our staff enough that they can just go pay cash for a Rolex, but we don't. Just like, you know, Elisha didn't do that with Gehazi. But you remember what the prophet said when Gehazi got back, thought he was pretty cool. He says to him, where were you? No, nowhere. Just, you know, basically just said, just around. And he said to him, you don't think the Spirit of God went with you? Don't you think the Spirit of God is with you when you're sinning, when you're committing adultery, when you're doing things? We're born again, Spirit-filled. Do you think he stands outside the door when we go in? No, he's there with us. And that's what he said to Gehazi. I was there. I was there when you did it. And what happened to him because of that? Leprosy. Not only did he get leprosy, listen to this, people, his whole entire family did. So men, you could drag your family down when you're disobedient to God or disconnect from this man of God. Now, I'm not saying disconnect from him and you're going to get leprosy and everything's going to be. Sometimes it's God. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about all of you that do it and it's not God, okay? It's not, you know, thus saith Vicki Barkley, this is just the way it is. I've been in the ministry 43 years. I can tell you that it's 99% the person, 1% God. Because God don't do those things. I mean, if you're going and blowing in a church and you're a big part of it and you're going to pick yourself up and leave, you're leaving an empty spot for that man and woman of God. And when that happens to us, we pray for sevenfold return so that we'll get back seven times more than what they had given to us. Even when people leave for good, when we raise them up and lay hands on them and send them out. Amen. And so Gehazi, he was discontented, he was disloyal, and he was disobedient. I hope none of you are like that. I hope there isn't a Gehazi in this church and that you're going to do these things by taking something that didn't belong to you, by taking money out of the offering, if you're counting the offerings, by being in the sanctuary and nobody's around and you open somebody's, these things happen. You take money out of somebody's purse. You leave your wedding ring in the bathroom and it disappears. I mean, this kind of stuff should happen at the airport, not at the church. And when money started disappearing at our ministry, we got cameras and we caught them. Somebody reaching into a purse and taking money out of it in the office. It's very sad and it hurts because you're all the time you're filming, which we can do that. All the time you're filming, you're saying, oh, please don't let it be so-and-so. Please don't let it be this guy. You know, he's so awesome. I love him. Don't let it be the, you know. But they guessed who it was, and that's who it was. But once you get it on film, you can say, hey, listen, don't do this anymore. You know. But we need to, let me read this one last scripture to you in Hebrews 13, 17. It says, we have an obligation to obey our pastor. Did you hear me? We have an obligation. Obey them that have rule over you. You submit yourself, for they watch out for your soul. Don't you want someone watching out for your soul? As they that must give account. So your pastor is giving an account. This is my favorite part. That they may do it with joy. Do you cause joy in them to go to God about you? I hope so. Because here it says, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. If your pastor has to go to God about you and you're causing him grief, it's unprofitable to you, not unprofitable to him. It's not what the word says. It's unprofitable for you. Amen. It's unprofitable for you. And so when they prune us, oh, sometimes I get so upset when my husband gets up and starts on one of his, prunes us, disciples us, trains us, you know, teaches us, corrects us. We need to take that, saturate our body with it, and say, Father, thank you that you love me enough that my pastor will correct me and prune me and teach me and correct me, because that's what he's called to do. And so I believe that's what your pastors do. I've not been around here to see any of it, but I believe that that's what they do. And I'm at the end. In closing, I want to do Isaiah 1:19. And I'm not even going to say, is this okay, Pastor? Because he's going to say yes, because he's not going to want to embarrass me. So I never ask him. I just try to hurry up and get done. So I'm not going to ask him. Okay. Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing, listen to me. Willing is your attitude. Okay? If you are willing and obedient is the action. If you got a good attitude, you're going to have some action behind your attitude, then you'll eat the good of the land. Okay? That's what it says here. I looked up the word willing. It says free to do, reliable, ready, and be obedient. See, this is after willing. The very last thing in the dictionary is the second word. It says be obedient. Then when you look up obedient, it says obliging, loyal, and be willing. So those two words together, your attitude and your action, makes you willing and obedient to what God's called you to do. And they go hand in hand. And if you're willing and obedient, God says that you will eat the best, you will be the best, you will do the best. And guess what? We will have the best that God has for us if we're just willing and obedient. And that's what this whole thing comes down to, is being willing and being obedient to let your pastors lead you, guide you, correct you, train you, prune you, do the things they need to do to make you what you are today. Now, I told you, I feel the Spirit of God on all of you. I believe this is amazing church. But if we ever get to a spot that we think we've made it, you're in trouble. We want to still continue to grow. Don't you want to still continue to grow? Don't you want to get more money so that you can give them more money? Not so, Jesus, I can get this and that. Because it says all these things will be added unto you if you serve him and do what he's called you to do. Stuff will automatically come to you. Don't pray for stuff. Pray for what God wants you to do for the church, the man and woman of God. It'll automatically come back to you. Can you say amen? Amen? Praise God. I hope I didn't. Pastor, I call them Holy Spirit trails, not rabbit. This is a Holy Spirit church, right? I call them Holy Spirit rabbit. Who ever heard of a rabbit? They're little trails. I know they go, that's what we've always said, but could you change it to Holy Ghost trails? Yeah. Thank you. That's the only kind of correcting you can do.
Life changing.
Yeah.
Life transforming word of God. Yeah. That wasn't just the word of Miss Vicky. That was God's word to us.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.